I've been thinking a lot about the next podcast that I wanted to do, and it has been a while because, as I've said before, life is really full sometimes, and I want this to be something that I really love, and I want to keep loving it, and so I've given myself permission to do it as much as I reasonably can do it, and sometimes that means there is a break in between, but I've been thinking a lot about where to go next with the podcast. And something always on the back of my mind is, what if I run out of things to talk about? And I think where I've landed with that is to acknowledge that if that happens, then I'll stop doing the podcast. In my experience, life keeps happening, and there are usually things that I'm trying to navigate through, and if I'm trying to navigate through it, then maybe other people are too. And so I keep showing up, and I keep doing this thing. So I have been thinking a lot about what to do next. And these past months, I've been struggling a lot to kind of adjust to my current life with kids and a lot of activities, going to school, managing a career, being a parent, trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle, have a relationship with my husband, you know, and all those things. There are days where I feel absolutely overwhelmed and like I'm just treading water. And that feeling can be pretty strong sometimes. And I know through conversations with other people that a lot of other people are experiencing the same thing. So I started thinking about, how am I going to deal with this? Because I don't want to be in a situation where I just feel overwhelmed every day. I know that's going to happen sometimes, but I don't want that to be my everyday all the time. And there were two kind of things that kept coming to the surface for me. One was this idea of hope. And one was this idea of boundaries. And I think they're really important topics, but they're both really big topics. So I decided today to start with hope. You know, without hope, we're a ship lost in a vast ocean of uncertainty. And I think without hope, you can't set boundaries. You can't maintain boundaries. So for me, hope sheds a light, however small, on what's possible and can give us something to hold on to. So today, we're going to dig into hope. So welcome everyone. My name is Adriana. I am the host of Story Cafe, a podcast where I share my own experiences, how I'm moving through the world, how I'm getting through challenging times, but also how I'm finding joyful times. And I do that on here to share it with anyone who wants to listen. Today we're going to talk about hope. And I want to clarify, because I think in a lot of situations, we think of hope as wishing for or wanting something to happen. We hope the weather will be nice on our vacation. We hope to have a good time at an event. But the type of hope I'm talking about is the type we reach for in really tough moments. It's not a specific hope for something. It's more of a hope that something will get better. It's a hope that this moment, no matter how hard or how dark it is, will not last forever. It's in many ways a kind of blind faith. And so today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about my own experience with hope, how I'm trying really hard not to end up in a space of hopelessness, but also just wanting to understand it more. And it's kind of challenging to talk about because it's not tangible, right? And people have really different perspectives and relationships with hope. You know, for some, hope is really tied to faith and believing in something bigger than you. And for others, hope is really just a form of wishing for something. And so some people don't really believe in hope in the same way, right? They believe that if you want things to get better, you have to take action. And given that I'm a Libra and I often search for balance, I actually think both of those things have a lot of truth. I think that hope is something we hold on to. I think it is a faith in something we can't necessarily see, because it's a belief that something will get better and we can't tell the future. I think it's a belief that even though this moment is really hard, there is another future possibility for which you're not in this exact moment and that things do get better. And I also think action is really important. You know, I think in many ways, hope is our inspiration for action. Hope is the thing that can inspire us to make change. It can inspire us to keep going when things are really hard. So, you know, for me, hope is believing that something different, something better is possible, even though you don't know for sure. I think that is what inspires our steps to action. And I think in my hardest moments, especially as like in my late teens and as an adult, I think both of those things are what pull me out of really hard moments. And so I wanted to dig into that today. As I often do with this podcast, I start thinking about, because it's called Story Cafe, what's the story, right? What is it that I can share that makes connections to all these things? And I had a hard time with this one because hope is kind of elusive. And I have gone through a lot in my life. I've been, for anyone who's new to the episode, I've had a lot of trauma, a lot of hurt, a lot of suffering. In my life, I've had to have a lot of hope. And when I started to kind of write about this episode and start thinking about that, I couldn't actually pinpoint what it was that gave me hope. As a child, I definitely went to a lot of different churches, but I never really felt particularly connected to that type of faith. And so it wasn't that. And I was trying to think of like, well, what was it that in these really hard times pushed me through? And I kind of landed on two things. And I remember, you know, when I was up until the age of almost 7, like 6 and a half, I lived with my mom on and off. And that time, absolutely, there were joyful moments. I had a really good friend who, to be honest, had a similar life to mine in lots of ways. And I, you know, we would get KFC on Fridays after my mom got paid, and we would go to the playground, and there were a lot of normal things, but there were a lot of things that really just weren't the norm. But when you're 5 and 6 years old, you don't know any different. It's all I knew. And so I don't actually remember having a need for a specific type of hope at that age. And I don't know how much I really understood that my life was different than other kids. But when I was like 7, like between 7 and 11, I think that's when that started to sink in a little bit. And I was in a foster home between 7 and 11. And I want to start by saying most foster parents are wonderful people, I think. And they're in it for the right reasons. There's a woman I know who fosters in Halifax who just inspires me every day. And so most of those people are in it for the right reasons, and they're wonderful, loving, caring people. And that was not the circumstance I was in. So I lived 4 years in a really terrible situation. And that's when I started to realize that my life was different and that these things maybe weren't normal. I started to kind of piece that together. To be taken from your home because your parent can't take care of you, and then to be put in a home for which someone's not doing a good job taking care of you, it's kind of a recipe for hopelessness. Because if the person who gave you life can't take care of you, and the person who someone has said should be able to take care of you can't take care of you, what is left to hope for? And yet, despite all of that, I still had hope. Like I hadn't given up, but I certainly had moments I can think of where I began to wonder, like, is this all there is? But when I try to pinpoint what it was at that time that gave me hope, I think what stands out the most is my connection to my friends. So I had two really good friends, Heather and Mary Ellen, and they were really different, but they were like my best friends, and we would have sleepovers and we'd go trick-or-treating and we'd do all the things that kind of normal friendships do. And it was really, really special. And I remember we would sleep over at Mary Ellen's sometime, and there used to be, first of all, there used to be this thing called phone books. I'm sure everyone who's listening knows what that is because you're probably all at least around my age or older. And in the phone book at the very front or at the very back, there used to be like this number you could call and you could push different buttons and you would get to like it would tell you the weather or it would be like the movies that were playing. You would pick the theater, but there were also some of them that were like, I feel like there was like trivia questions or like music trivia. There might have even been some that just played music. It's so funny. Like, I had totally forgot about it till I started thinking about this podcast. But I remember we would get there and we'd get the phone book and we'd call these numbers and we would giggle and we would have fun. And the connection to those two people, I think there were two key parts of it that gave me hope. One is they had lives that seemed pretty wonderful. And I'm not saying they were perfect by any stretch of the imagination because nobody's life is. But certainly it gave me this perspective that there is another way that families exist, right? And it doesn't look like what I'm experiencing. And I'm certain that we had a lot of ups and downs. I'm certain that there were challenges as friends because we were like, I mean, between 7 and 11, you're going to have fights, you're going to not get along. But those two friendships were my first view that something else was possible. And that's what hope is rooted in, right? This idea that something beyond the moment you're in right now is possible. And so I remember when I moved from that community, I wasn't able to stay friends with those folks. And that was a big loss because those two were really the first two really good friends that I had. And that was really special. But that got me thinking about how important connection is to hope. And I know for some people who have a lot of faith-based hope, so in different spiritual or religious beliefs, you know, there is a faith in a higher power. And I think that's a type of connection. I think that's a connection that people make. And I think that connection is what gives them hope. If I fast forward a little bit, in my adolescent years, I moved out of that foster home and into a situation where I was loved, I was cared for. And although, you know, I ended up needing to move out of that house at some point, it was really the first stable ground I got to stand on. And my first friend, when I lived in that community, we would go on to be friends for like 10, 12 years. And I can remember I went to the school where there was just grade fives and sixes. And it was back in a time I had to go to the dentist. And I was getting picked up to go to the dentist and the teacher said, so-and-so, like, why don't you go wait outside with Adriana until she gets picked up? And it was back in the days where, like, you just waited. Like, no adult came and make sure you got in the right car. You just, you were 12, you got in the right car. That's what you did. And I remember we were waiting outside and I don't know all the things we were talking about. I remember there was something about a caramel cake and she was sharing with me something about another friendship she had. But somehow by the end of the conversation, she invited me over to her house either that night or that weekend or something. And that moment bloomed a friendship where we became like so close for so many years. And we would have sleepovers. You know, we went through our adolescence together, which is like went through me dating people that were terrible, you know, and that friendship still lasted. And again, like I think that friendship and that connection filled, if there's, you know, a hope cup or somewhere that we store hope, I think having that connection to someone gave me what I needed to push through, even though life was still hard, right? You don't go through all kinds of trauma in your childhood and then suddenly it goes away, you know? Life continues to throw things at you. You have to keep processing it. But that friendship I have cherished my whole life. And we don't always stay friends with people forever. And I'm a really big believer that people come in and out of our lives for the right amount of time. And I think we can welcome people in our lives, and then we have to let go of people when that time comes to an end. But that friendship was so important to me and has really stuck with me. And it's the kind of friendship I hope my kids have, right? I hope my kids have friends like that. I remember one night we were at her house and we were teenagers. And we looked out the window and we must have heard something. We looked out the window and there were some guys going down the street that were a couple years older than us. And one of them must have saw us in the window, or maybe I yelled something. It's hard to say. Anything's possible. But either way, they noticed us in the window and one of them decided to like pull his pants down and moon us and then run down the street. And I remember that we were in a fit of giggles. Like, we were in stitches. It was so funny. And that became a story we continued to tell. And so as I moved through thinking about what hope is, that for me was hope. It was this idea that we can have a closeness with our friends through the good times and through the bad times, and that other things are possible. That made all the difference in my life, because things, you know, we're turbulent. I want to fast forward, and I know I'm kind of like motoring through some of these stories, but I want to thread them together a little bit because I want to jump into that thing I talked about earlier, which was action. And when I was in my late teens, I again built some new relationships, and they were mentor relationships, which in my adult life became friendships. But I got to meet people and spend time with people who in their adult life were living really, from my perspective, wonderful lives. And I'm certain that if you asked any of those people, that their lives are really challenging too. But when you're looking at your mentor, you don't see those things. Like, you're not looking at them and seeing the challenges they're going through. But I do remember that they interacted in really positive ways. They might have been going to college or university. They had cool jobs. And again, it was this like opportunity to see what's possible in the world. At the time that I started to meet some of these folks, I was living in a group home. And when you live in a group home, you can start to feel like your opportunities are really limited, right? I remember how many people I lived in group homes with that were teen moms. And it's not a judgment, but when you are a teen mom, that changes the trajectory of your life in many ways. You can't just up and go wherever you want to go. You have these other responsibilities. I saw a lot of people I lived in group homes with turn to drugs because that was how they eased the pain that they were in. And for me, I was lucky enough to start participating in these programs that showed me there were other possibilities out there besides what was in my inner circle. And that light pushed me through some very poor choices I was making in my late teens. And getting to know people who were living a different life was so hopeful, right? It gave me hope. It helped me see that there were other possibilities out there. And it was life-changing for me. And at the same time that I was meeting these mentors, I was also participating in a group. And I apologize if I've already told this story, but it was this youth action team that I was on. And one of the things that we had to do as a youth action team was take action. We had to volunteer our time in some way to give back to our community. And this can be a really complex ask, especially when you're working with young people who have had really challenging lives, because it's very hard to ask a group of young people who, from their perspective, the world has really caused them harm to give back to the world. And yet it was a key part of this program. We were all willing to do it. Not all of us were young people in care, but a lot of us were. But I do think it's important to note that that is a complex thing when you're working with young people, but it's also a really important thing. So one of the projects that we did was, we gathered suitcases to donate to Children's Aid because hopefully, I really hope this has changed, but at the time, if you had to be taken out of your home for whatever reason and you didn't have luggage, because like what kid just has luggage? A lot of times whatever they needed to take, like clothes enough for the next couple days, stuffed animals, whatever, would get put in a garbage bag. And we were really bothered by this, so we did the suitcase drive. And people donated suitcases, and then people also donated money. So we put like shampoos and stuff in them, and then we gave them to Children's Aid. And I think we gave them to Phoenix too. Anyway, a couple different organizations to give out to young people who might need them. That was the first time I really remember the experience of giving back. I don't even know if I like the term giving back, because it almost is like giving to the community, I guess, or doing something to help someone else. And it stuck with me, because that's the kind of action that I think lights a fire of hope, is action that helps other people. And I recognize when I say that, it can be interpreted as, when you're feeling overwhelmed, how can you possibly help someone else? Or when life is really dark, how can you possibly help someone else? But I mean it in the broadest sense, in that on days when I'm really struggling and just to like get through the day, right? It's like we have to go to this place and that place and pay this bill, and we're living paycheck to paycheck, and like whatever you're experiencing. On those days when you're just extra exhausted and you have nothing left to give, if I'm in the grocery store and I help someone get something off a shelf, it puts a little tiny light inside of me. If I smile at someone walking down the road that looks like they're having a bad day, that puts a little bit of light in me. So when I say action and action that helps others, I don't mean giant things, although sometimes that is the case. But I mean little things. I mean stepping outside of you and offering something up to someone else who may be feeling the exact same way that you are, right? Having a really rough day. And I think the reason it puts a little light inside of me is it helps me remember that I'm important, and it helps me remember that I have value, and it helps me remember that the world needs me. When I think about pairing those two things, like having experiences that remind you that other things are possible, paired with experiences where you remind yourself that the world needs you, I think that combination is what lights hope inside of us. For me, I grew up needing to believe that other things were possible, because the life I was living was not the one I wanted to live forever. So when I saw other possibilities, I had hope. When I started to see as a teenager that I could actually help people, that I could actually make a difference in people's lives, to start to see and build my own worth around this idea that we can make a difference, that I could make a difference. I think the combination of those two things are in many ways where I need to steer my ship when I feel overwhelmed. So last year when I started this podcast, in many ways, it grew out of a moment of feeling like, wow, I'm struggling with parenting, or I'm struggling with like holding down, you know, a career and post-secondary education and parenting and wifing and all the things. And I think other people are struggling with that too. I'd like to share my story about that. And that's where the podcast came from. And at the end of the day, I wanted people to listen to the podcast, but it wasn't about that. It was about sharing this thing in this platform. And that really lit the fire underneath me. I wanted an opportunity to just speak my truth, and I also wanted to make a difference. And that's how this podcast came to be. But a lot of times the action I take is smaller. It's, you know, connecting with someone, being there for a friend, that connection piece is still really important. And so I think in recent weeks when I've been really struggling and deciding to use this platform, this podcast, as a way of figuring some of that out for myself, what I've come to realize are the ingredients for me, and not necessarily everyone, but probably some of you, is finding connection. So sometimes when we feel overwhelmed, our instinct is to turtle in and not do anything. And sometimes the hardest thing we can do is reach out to someone. But that connection, like when I force myself to do it, when I force myself to go to a friend's house and sit in her bunkie and just, even though I'm exhausted and in my mind, I'm like, I don't have time for this, it fills my cup. And I have more hope after that. The other thing is finding ways to remind myself that the world needs all of us and the world needs more goodness. And that goodness can take the form of a smile. It can take the form of reaching out to a friend who you haven't heard from in a while. It can take all kinds of forms. I mean, it could be a podcast. It could be writing poetry. I have a friend who just writes these beautiful pieces, and they're short, but they're just so profound and beautiful. And when I see them, it lifts me up. And so I think for anyone out there, if you're moving through life right now and you're feeling like, holy smokes, I don't know what to do, like I'm drowning, those are my recommendations, is find someone, anyone to connect to, right? Even if it's sending an email to an old friend, or turn to your faith. For some people, that's where the connection is. But also like find ways to take action so you can remind yourself that you really do matter. And you do make a difference in the world. And sometimes that gets lost. And it gets lost in a world of big gestures, right? We live in a world of everything is bigger, right? We spend time on social media and we watch these performances that are ginormous. You know, these big moments of people's friends. Like, I watch these videos of friends and they do all these funny games when they get together. And I'm like, oh, like, do I want a friendship like that? And we do all these weird, stupid things we see on the internet. And we videotape it and then we put it on the internet. They look really fun. I don't have the energy to figure that out. That's not actually necessary. I think what is necessary is human connection with people who genuinely care for you, people who genuinely will listen to you and be there for you, and then people you can be there for, right? People that you can be a good friend to. And then find someone to smile at and remind yourself that there are other possibilities beyond this moment that you're in. This moment right now of what you feel is not forever. Much like our happiest moments are not going to last forever, but the hard moments are not going to last forever either. So for me, that's what hope is about. What I always want for this podcast is that something in it resonates for you. Even if it's not your own experience, it resonates to understand how other people experience the world. Because we do live in kind of an insular place. We don't always see what other people, all we see is what's on the outside. And this is a little bit of what's on my inside. So that's my episode on hope. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being patient with my time in between. Sometimes it's 2 weeks, sometimes it's 4 weeks. Super excited. Next episode after this is one I recorded in the summer with my very dear friend, Brian Braganza. That one's going to be ready to upload very soon. So that's what's coming after Hope. And then after that, we're going to dig into boundaries because we are heading into the holiday season. And boundaries are very, very important. So hope you're all doing something that you love. Enjoy your day. Bye for now.